Mitch McConnell's ready. He's ready. He wants to jam through a nominee. Who cares? You know, in 2016, he blocked Obama from getting his Supreme Court nominee in his final year, with Merrick Garland. And, Mitch McConnell, he said, oh, we can't do this in a president's final year. We need to let people have their say. You think he cares about that now? No, he doesn't care about that now because he cares about power. These people do not care about democracy. They do not care about fairness. They do not care about equality. They do not care about justice. They care about power, and they care about money. They don't care who dies. They don't care whose rights get violated. And that's why we need to show up. So I need you to be ready.
Yes, it is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. Welcome to a special Wednesday edition of Raging Chicken's Out to Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Each week, I talk to our Twitter brawler-in-chief, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. This week, it's real talk on the need to bury the Republican Party. Pitchforks? Check. Torches? Check. Sweet, even David Plouffe is calling for court packing, getting rid of the filibuster, D.C. and Puerto Rican statehood, following Mitch McConnell's and Republican Party's kind of push to seat a new court justice after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He told Chris Hayes last night that if the Democratic Party candidates can't capitalize on the current political environment, it's political malpractice. That's David Plouffe, everybody.
It's more than that.
He says it's time to make the Republican Party pay a maximum price and have a plan to, quote, grab power and fully utilize it. That's going to be a theme for today, I'll tell you that. And over the weekend, not only did we get kind of, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and now democracy and the American form of government hanging in the balance, right? COVID-19 deaths topped 200. As Trump heads out to Ohio at a rally in Ohio, it's like, nobody gets it. Virtually everyone's immune. Nobody gets it. And if that's not enough, you need more evidence on the slide or the cliff fall into authoritarianism? Bill Barr declares New York City, Seattle, and Portland anarchist jurisdictions. Turns out we're not going to need a passport after all. We just go to New York. I'm all set. Excellent. Get ready, get your black flag, get your black and red flags, and head to New York, head to Seattle, head to Portland, because we got a place to go finally, people.
Autonomous zones.
Yeah, too bad that just didn't mean the reason why he gave him that designation is so that he could actually randomly arrest hundreds of people when they just show up outside on the sidewalk if they want. Hundreds of people have been arrested in New York over the past few weeks, right, for holding signs on sidewalks. It's here, man. It's here. Mitt Romney rips off his unicorn mask. PA Representative Jordan Harris still taking checks from Student First. That's right. The right-wing public school death pack. That's right. That's Jordan Harris. The other D after his name. Democrat. Yeah.
Minority whip.
Minority whip. Believable. PA Senator Pat Toomey commits to backing Trump's nominee. Duh. And multiple choice for our listeners. What's more important here, right? Is really, you got to choose one. A, protect your kids' rights to trick-or-treat this Halloween. Or B, recognize that masks are child abuse. What's it going to be? There's the Republican conundrum right now. Folks, we're having a special Wednesday session. It's going to be a shorter day today. We're just going to be kind of reflecting, reacting, kind of talking here. Because I'll tell you what, I said, I'm getting out of town this weekend. I need to clear my head, and I need to get some hard nose moves forward here. I'm ready to go. I am ready to freaking go.
Well, that makes one of us.
I'm just telling you, man. Too bad you didn't have a car, Sean. Get the hell out. No, I am...
I'm glad my passport's expired.
Oh, mine's not. Well, not that you can get any place anyways. I mean, we're banned from everywhere. You can't go. You can't travel any place because of the freaking COVID-19 epidemic. Pandemic.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
There's our wall.
We missed it, man. The boat is sailed. It's gone. Train has left the station.
We're a fucking leper colony.
Exactly.
Between two oceans.
Exactly. I'll tell you, so it's going to be a little bit freewheeling today, and, you know, that is just the way it's going to be, and if you don't like it, I don't know what the frick to tell you. It's just going to be the way it is. I'm as hopefully as mad as you are right now, and as committed as you are, and like AOC said in the top of the thing, we need to be ready, and we need to be committed for the long haul. I have some ideas about this as we kind of move here. I talked a little bit about this on the Out to Coop live show on Monday. But we'll kind of come back to it here. I'm going to remind everybody to tune in to the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org. You can tune in to Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. And make sure you download the Rick Smith Show's daily podcast on iTunes, Podbeans, wherever you get your podcasts, right? We need to be supporting kind of progressive media all over the place right now. I am firmly convinced that this is going to be absolutely essential in the years to come. And if we want a progressive future, we need a progressive media. You can help support Pull No Punches' homegrown progressive media today. You can become a member of Raging Chicken Press for as little as $5 a month. And I want to give you a special shout out to Jamie B. Jamie B became a member this week at the $10 a month level. Jamie, thank you so much for becoming a patron over at Raging at patreon.com/rcpress. That's patreon.com/rcpress. We'll be sending Jamie out some little thank yous because we're going to need people like Jamie and you. Even more as we move even into the deeper darkness that is ahead of us. We're expanding our network. Yes, one of my commitments, one of my needs to get away, to get my head together is saying, you know, I think we are in a situation where we have to ask ourselves, what can we do? How are we going to be involved? What are we going to do? And one of the things that I'm going to be doing is committed to doing more of these podcasts. And bringing more activists, to bring more authors and things on, and to try to kind of, push what I can do here. It's time for me to step up a little bit. I've been in the doldrums for far too long. So we need you too. So we're not asking you to break the bank. We're asking you to become a member, become a patron for the price of a good beer once a month. Help keep the media in the movement in the media. Become a patron for as little as $5 a month by going to patreon.com/rcpress today. So, Sean, I'm glad you're able to hop on today. Originally, my wife's birthday's in September, and we usually always go away one weekend. We can find a weekend to get away in September when our schedules allow it, and we're planning it this weekend. But then after this frickin' shit show over the past few days, like, you know what, we're not going to wait, we're just going to get the hell out of here Friday morning and not wait to the end of the day, because it's been nuts. I mean, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just picking fights with people on Twitter right now. That's what I'm doing on Wednesday morning, for saying fuck it. I got nothing else better going on in my life.
You got nothing else better going on. You're a little beside yourself today, Sean. Is that what's going on?
I to be honest, I haven't watched any news at all since Friday night.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking, I've zoned out completely on this. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, I might come out of this hole in a little bit, but it's certainly not right now. I mean, like. Yeah, you want to talk about like pure shock doctor and like power play? It's about to happen here. Using the pandemic and the death of a Supreme Court justice to solidify a 6-3 majority, and literally bring back the Lochner era.
Yep.
Like, this is what we're looking at.
Well, let's run it down, right? You're talking about bringing back the Lochner era.
Like if Democrats don't do anything in response to this, then they are a failed political movement.
Well, and here's
the... I mean, like, if they allow this to happen and with no fight or no plan for the future, then like they're just as responsible for this authoritarian slide as the Republicans.
Right. But let's be clear about a couple things here, though. Right. They're at this point, in terms of the Democratic Party and elected officials, right, there's like practically speaking next to nothing they can practically do, right, to change what's going to happen right now. They don't have any procedural kind of powers. They have no moves that they can make inside the legislature in order to stop this vote. They can get out there, they can make a lot of noise and all this stuff, but just technically speaking, right? So let's be absolutely 100% clear about that.
I think did you watch the Biden speech?
Yeah, the return of Sleepy Joe. Yeah, I saw it.
I thought it was good at the time when I saw it, but like thinking back on it, like, I mean, what else does he have to do besides like extending an olive branch to, I mean, like that should have been the point to drop the hammer on these people.
Yeah,
like if you do this, we're going to pack the fucking courts.
Look, that's what I'm saying.
It seems like Dianne Feinstein and other senators are already like moving away from that. Like, no, fuck you. We're packing the courts if this happens.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I this is what I said on Monday. On Monday's Out the Coop Live, right? Which it looks like I'm going to be able to do on Monday morning. So maybe around this time, 9:30 Monday mornings, 10 o'clock Monday mornings. I'm going to try to get that set to go. Because nighttime is just not going to work with my schedules. I've talked about Cecily on this show, but we have to be prepared now to be not just kind of like calling our senators to try to convince them not to vote. Right? I mean, Pat Toomey's already come out and he says he's going to vote for Trump's nominee.
No, we have to be calling like Bob Casey and saying, exactly, if you don't support packing the courts,
exactly,
then your ass is next.
Exactly. Is that the pressure needs to be all in, that Democrats, elected Democrats, especially in the Senate, need to have all the pressure in the world right now to say they have no wiggle room now. There's none of this moderation bullshit. That, I mean, when you have David Plouffe come out and basically calling for things that like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and all this kind of stuff have been dismissing as kind of like radical, like what was it that Nancy Pelosi said? You've got like I don't know, she's like the agitated fringe or something. I can't remember what the hell she said, but she was like dismissive of people calling for court packing and this kind of stuff, right? She had the freaking gall, right, to come out and kind of like dismiss those folks that are calling for them, making them say these extreme measures or something like this. David Plouffe, I think one of the reasons why David Plouffe went on Chris Hayes to say that stuff is basically saying, no, look, I'm one of you. Right. And I can see the freaking writing on the wall. Right. I'm one of you people. I'm an Obama guy. And I'm telling you now, it is time to pull out all the stops. And
now, do you actually think like people like Axelrod and Plouffe were like that within the administration, but were hampered by the more institutionalists? Because it seems like when the meltdown was going on, at least like the history we're hearing, like we're told, is that like people like Plouffe and Axelrod were the ones who wanted the bankers to go to jail for the meltdown, but like others within the administration, like Geithner, didn't want that to happen.
I do think that's true.
Like it seems like that voice has always been sidelined, regardless.
I agree 100%. But look, I mean, Axelrod. I have a little bit less respect for Axelrod because I think he's followed the pathway towards moderation, and he's kind of like stayed with that. With Plouffe, I think is a little bit different. I do think, I think he's a inside fighting campaigner, right? I think that he actually, I think he understands like what it means to win, right? I think that he's kind of kept, well, I don't want to say kept his powder dry. I think he's held back on stuff because of, all the accolades and everything that he's gotten. And he's like been comfortable in the kind of like progressive middle, right? So that he could kind of moderate between these different sides. The fact that he's coming out now and kind of basically to put the gloves off, that's a signal to me that basically Plouffe has basically said, look, this is when he's saying it's political malpractice if Democratic candidates cannot capitalize on this moment right now. That message is as much for people who are running for office right now as it is for the Democratic Party leadership. Right? That, I mean, he's saying, look, there is nothing left. There's nothing left. That this has got to be about power at this point, because that is all the Republican Party cares about. That is all Mitch McConnell cares about. That is all Donald Trump cares about. That's all the entire right end of the political spectrum right now, is that they are focused clearly on power. So put aside your freaking hypocrisy claims and all this kind of like freaking like outpouring of kind of like outrage about more like the morality and hypocrisy crap, because it means nothing right now.
And that's like the thing. It's like the most striking, not striking. I guess the funniest part in all of this, like, are the people who thought like Mitt Romney and the institutionalists within the Republican Party were going to see their way through this and like hold up any nominee until after the election or until after Inauguration Day. No, of course they're not. They're Republicans first. Like, Trump is a symptom of the Republican Party and where the Republican Party has been going. Like, exactly. If there's one thing that they know, it's about power. Like, yes, like, do you think Romney likes Trump? No, but like, when it comes to the two things they have in common, the one thing they both have in common, it's power.
That's right. Because
they're Republicans, and that's what they've been doing for the past 40 years. And it's fucking embarrassing that Democrats can't see this.
It is embarrassing.
I mean, like, yeah, I have some analogies to use, but like, there's some really crude fucking analogies about this stuff. But it just, like, I mean, like, how long you're getting screwed constantly, and like, these people have been fucking you for the past like 20 or 30 years, and now you still yeah. I'm just going to be an incoherent mess, because like, this is just like, it's infuriating that this is the Democratic Party we're dealing with.
Look, I absolutely get it. And
we have a Democratic Party with no fucking moral compass, no moral leadership. You have people who have no fucking integrity leading this party. And like, this is the moment we get, like, when you have people like Pelosi, Hoyer, and people who fucking sell out anything for someone's paycheck or someone's donation. Like, and you have a party with no fucking soul to it. Like, this is what you get. And this is what we're facing because of that failed leadership.
Look, when I heard some interview with Nancy Pelosi the other night, when she was asked for some of her reaction to what you're going to do, and she said she's going to pray, I nearly freaking, like, you know, wrecked everything.
Whoa,
in the house.
Like, step one, impeach. You fucking give them work to do. Step one, impeach Bill Barr. Step two, impeach. Find someone else to impeach. Just keep on impeaching these fucking people. Make the Senate gum up the works. There are things that Democrats can do. Like, and they're just choosing not to do it. Like, the fact that, like, Bill Barr wasn't impeached yesterday for the fucking, or on Monday for the anarchist jurisdiction stuff, and...
Well, look, like, let's even talk about, like...
Like, what was the whole entire point of Pelosi, or not Pelosi, Schumer and AOC's press conference then? Like, if Pelosi's just going to come out and block them like that.
Got me. He's like, this is like, I believe, like, look, the reason I played AOC up top, right, is because I think she knows. I think what she's saying, right, one, and I think she's, you know, forthright about this, is that we need to be ready to move and put all the pressure is. Like, if there's ever been a time where this is the moment when progressives need to move hard on the Democratic Party and get this Democratic Party leadership out of there, or kind of like move away. Just look at what, like, again, I've been plugging the Benjamin Dixon show, right? What Benjamin, like, Dixon has been talking about.
Do you think Schumer wants
time.
To get primaried by AOC in 4 years? No.
Schumer, like, I was curious about how Schumer was going to react to some of this stuff. And here, this was the big tell for me. Right. So he was this was his first TV interview since the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Right. It was on a Rachel Maddow show last night. And he's like, you know, in the Capitol, you know, basically saying, we're going to do everything in our power. We're going to fight back and blah, blah, blah. And he gets animated at one point. Right. About, like, everything is at stake. And he's right. Right. Labor rights. Just as you said, labor rights are at stake. Roe v. Wade is at stake. Right. We're talking about our climate is at stake. Right. Public schools are at stake. Healthcare is at stake.
Every single blog.
The 20th century is at stake. All the gains since the new freaking deal are at stake. Voting rights are at stake. The fundamental foundations of the last vestiges of the freaking American hope of democracy are at stake right now. And Schumer started getting like a little animated about this stuff, right? He says, we've got to put everything at our disposal, right? And you don't see this on camera, but you can tell that he's getting loud, right? So other people in the Capitol hear him. And so these other reporters and cameras start coming around and journalists start gathering around because all of a sudden you see his look on his face. And he stops looking at the camera, just MSNBC, and he starts looking at other people around there and gives that nice little Chuck Schumer smile. And I'm like, dude, even at this time, your freaking ego and the attention you're getting from the cameras is overriding the moment.
Can we bring back Harry Reid?
Yeah. I was not a huge fan of Harry Reid. I eventually became convinced that, okay, this guy is actually like,
one of the smartest fucking senators we've had, like, leaders probably, like, in our lifetime.
Well, he knew how to do the inside fight. He just didn't do it in public as much, right? In the way that, you know, I mean, what AOC would do. But,
he would know how to fight back against McConnell.
Yeah, he would. And he would not hesitate. And he knew how to discipline his own freaking caucus. He knew how to kind of come in and basically kind of, like, you know, deliver.
Oh, you're not going to do that? Okay, there goes a committee assignment.
See ya.
Like, oh, you're going to be on the local government committee now. Have fun with that. Like, you know what? Like, that type of stuff.
Like we're talking about, I mean, look, the fact that we're going back and looking at Harry Reid as kind of like, this is what we're hoping for, it shows you how down the drain we've gone. I mean, seriously. I mean, what Harry Reid was able to do, he was able to play the game well. He was not a progressive, but he sure as hell knew which way the winds blew. He knew where the base was.
But he also knew like how to interact with people in the base too.
That's what I mean. I mean,
he knew what the Netroots was, and he knew what the progressive blogosphere was, and like had a pretty good ear to that ground.
Yeah, he freaking paid attention. And when he found out that there was like this growing movement, you know what he did? He brought people in. Right? He got access to it. He was in those meetings with the freaking Netroots and things because he was like, okay, I see a new center of power emerging. And so I need to know what the hell's going on here. As opposed to freaking Nancy Pelosi, who wants to lecture people on the left from her dual $1,000 refrigerators about ice cream. I mean, I'm beside myself, Sean. I mean, I literally walk around, like I walk my dog like several times a day. It's how I get out of my freaking house, right? And I've been cooped up too long too as well, so I'm a little on edge. I gotta admit it, right? Right? Going to the grocery store for me is a big deal. Okay? So I walk around walking my dog, and I have these moments to feel like I'm like, wait, I'm blowing this up out of proportion. Right? I'm just like, whatever. I'm running away with my freaking dystopian fantasies and all this other kind of garbage, right? And then I get home, and I watch the freaking news, and I'm like, nope. No, this is it. you're right there. But it's this absolute cognitive dissonance moment where people are going about their daily lives, and I guess you got to do that, right? But it feels like right now, I mean, it's like where the hell's the emergency broadcast system when we need it, right? I mean, this is what should be happening. I mean, it's like
and then we have an election coming up that like no one knows if it's going to be legitimate or not. Like that's like the next thing. It's like
no. Let's put it this way. There is almost no way the election will be legitimate. Right?
Yeah.
Let me make this case. It's like, or I should put it a little bit different. Let me qualify that a little bit. Whoever wins will be seen as illegitimate for the other side. I think that that's it. Right? And we are not going to know the results from Pennsylvania, from like what, Wisconsin, Michigan? Right? Several states, special battleground states, we're
our
not going to know
Brooks
them.
Brooks Brother riots are going to be happening here.
You can count on it. What is going to happen? Right? The election, I mean, seriously, this is what, when AOC says, I need you to be ready. This is it. Is like, there's election day, and then there's the 4th of November. There's the day after. Because that is when the shit is going to hit the fan. That is when the shit is going to hit the fan. You've already had... I mean, come on. I mean, Timothy Snyder was on Michael Moore's show last night, or yesterday, or 2 days ago, whatever it was. He's a guy who wrote on authoritarianism and things like this, and, you know, brought back that... Got that little book, like, whatever, the...
The 20 Rules, or...
20 Rules on Tyranny, or something like this, right? And just kind of reminding me, he's like, look, we've ticked all the boxes. Right? We've ticked all the boxes. Yesterday on the Majority Report, I'm going to forget her name now. There's this woman who basically just wrote this book. I just ordered her book. I got to hear this, the two as well. You know, it calls it the four fears, right? In a democracy, right? It's a democracies are always more fragile than you'd expect, right? All you need is, you know, have the disintegration of kind of, you know, these four fears, and I'll come back to those in a second, but and we've ticked all the boxes, and we've had a Democratic Party that is so focused on Trump bad as the only point of analysis, right, for four freaking years, right? They went through an impeachment trial. We've talked about this extensively on the show. They went through an impeachment trial where they decided all we're going to talk about is Russia.
Go Cold War.
Right? We're not going to talk about kids in cages. We're not going to talk about the erosion of democratic rights. We're not going to talk about kind of like open, you know, racism and support of white supremacy. Right? We're not going to talk about deep-lying corruption. We're not going to talk about self-dealing. We're not going to talk about self-enrichment through like what his hotel or all of his businesses. We're not going to talk about any of that stuff. We're going to focus on Russia because we think it's a winner. And guess what? It's a winner only if you're sitting inside the freaking beltway. That's why no one gave a shit. That's why that went nowhere. Because people, real people... You know, the concern about Russia is way down on the list. And look, there were enough people that were warning the Democratic Party about this. There were enough people that were talking about why this is, you know, this is a bad move, whatever. We have been talking about this. Progressives have been talking about not just the impeachments, but right across the board. This is not just Donald Trump. This is the Republican Party. This is why so many people have become disheartened when you see the Democratic Party convention invites like half its speakers as Republicans, making this reach out to the center, right? Because we know we're not freaking idiots. We know who Mitt Romney is. Remember, that dude is the guy who said 47% of Americans are freaking worthless.
They're freeloaders.
They're freeloaders. You remember this?
Yeah.
We know that freaking George Bush is a war criminal. We know John Kasich is the guy who looked to kind of end union rights in Ohio.
Same thing with Rick Snyder.
Same thing with Rick Snyder.
He poisoned the fucking city.
He freaking poisoned the city. The guy poisoned a freaking city. And you accept his endorsement? Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, look, this is where we are. And look, I'm going to say this to you now, right? And I'll tell you right now, I want to be absolutely crystal clear. This is, I am going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to hate it, and I'm going to vote for him. And unlike...
Well, you're not voting for the Green Party anymore.
Fuck the Green Party. I'll tell you this. I told you, we said this last week, right? On last week's show, pretty damn clear, right? Once you accept Republican energy because you can't, you don't even have enough organization on the ground to do your own goddamn work. And so what do? You accept the help of Republicans to get yourself on the ballot? No. You are not a movement. You are not a political party. That's a grift. That's what you call it, a grift. It's self-dealing. I mean, just like, I used to be a Green Party member, okay? When I lived in Allentown, like, I was a member of the Green Party. I was registered as a Green Party member. I went to those meetings, and they were like little tiny small meetings. Because I said, you know, maybe this is the direction we're going to go. I believed in the principles of the Green Party when they first got established. I believed in those things. But you know what? Over the years, I found out it was the same three people. And the only time that you know, there was any activity was around the presidential election cycle. I'm like, well, this is not a party. This is not party building. It's not a movement building. Right? And then the shit got real. Right? We said that we saw the rise of the Tea Party. Right? We saw the rise of the right wing. We saw the rise of white supremacists openly. This is not time to play games, people. And I'll tell you this, it's like, you know, Benjamin Dixon, again, you hear me talk a lot about him on the show these days, because I think everybody needs to be following this guy.
I loved how he was, like, shaming people for, like, unfollowing him over the weekend. He's like, two type of people, those will do the work, and those who will be snarky all the way to the prison camps. And he's just like, unfollow me. I hope fucking 50,000 of you people unfollow me by the time morning's up.
Yep. Yeah, I tweeted at him and said, I'm going nowhere. I'm right here. Right? And then you know what I got from him? I got a follow from him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like, look, we're, this kind of mutual support has got to happen, number one. Right? And then, you know, what I really appreciate, what Ben Dixon says all the time, is, look, what I'm telling you, don't get me into this freaking bizarro conversation about freaking vote shaming and all this other shit, right? You're going to do whatever the hell you want to do. I'm telling you why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm voting for Joe Biden in this state. I would vote for Joe Biden in any state right now. I don't like Joe Biden. I don't agree with Joe Biden. I don't think he has what it takes or what we need right now. But I'm also not a freaking idiot. I don't have my head in the sand in some idealized world. We are on like the brink of authoritarianism right now. If you've been following the local news in different cities, is that police are literally rounding up hundreds of people at a time at protests for standing on the streets and signs. The police show up in force. They say disperse. They don't disperse fast enough. They round them up. 76 or 78 people were just arrested in New York like last night or 2 nights ago, for example. Portland, Seattle, same thing. When Bill Barr gives them a designation and say that you are an anarchist jurisdiction, the reason why they're doing that, if you've been following that at all, is because now they're basically in a position where they could deny federal funds. It says that any money that you send to those cities is wasted money because they're anarchist jurisdictions. He's going to bleed those cities dry of federal funds. And militarize them with federal forces. And we saw what that looked like in Portland and cities around this country. Remember when Bill Barr first got appointed? Remember what the kind of like, you know, the good liberal said? Ah, finally. Get rid of Jeff Sessions. You know, Jeff Sessions, that kind of southern white supremacist guy. We'll bring in Bill Barr. Bill Barr has respect for the office. Such a fucking joke. Bill Barr has a track record of, like, you know, this whole theory about this, like, what do they call it? The single executive or whatever?
Yeah, the single executive power.
Single executive power, right? Basically, that's all he's about. Right? And what has he done? He has been a more ruthless and competent Jeff Sessions. But Jeff Sessions would kind of run away like a little muskrat at certain things, because he is a little muskrat. Bill Barr digs right in. He has no problem whatsoever you heard his comments last week on the show, right? Last week on the show, we had we featured a Bill Barr, basically, you know, talking about like the blacks, about how the blacks don't care. Black Lives Matter is just a prop. They don't care. It's like these are criminals, right? He wants to round them up too. I mean, I don't know at what point you start believing what people say and what they do. They have, this is what they say they're going to do, and then they do that thing that they're going to say, and still you've got people in the Democratic Party leadership who are just kind of like, they'll come around. No. The one thing I'm thankful to Mitt Romney about is that...
he's not our savior anymore.
Well, I hesitate to put it this way, but... it is a significant nail in that freaking coffin that put that shit to bed. There is no Republican savior. And this is why we need to be ready, just like AOC said. And what does that mean? Well, look, when it comes to actually contacting legislators and things like this, it doesn't mean to say, like, just resist this Supreme Court appointment. Yes, you need to do that. Right? But it's time to get uncomfortable, to put all the pressure we can upon Democratic Party legislators and senators, to let them know that we want to pack the courts, we want DC statehood, right? And we're not going to freaking bargain anymore on this kind of like Obamacare, like let's go third of the way crap. It's Medicare for all. It's all in. There's a new report that just came out. This is like UN's Climate Week. I don't know if you saw this, but they just came out. Basically, there's a big clock now that's in New York, right? And that clock is counts down from 7 years or 7.5 years, 8 years, whatever it is. But it's 7 years, so much. That's how much time we've got left to act. We've already seen out-of-control wildfires. This is like, you know, what, several years in a row now in the West, right? We've seen an unprecedented hurricane season. We're seeing all sorts of deluges, and our climate is going to shit. There's no time left. And if you think for a second, right, if you're going to give me this bullshit about, you know, these Trump and the Democrats, or Trump and whoever, Joe Biden, they're the same thing. Trump has effectively gutted all of our institutions. There's been reports this week, I've been following this in the New York Times and Washington Post, about how the CDC has been undermined by the Trump administration. Report just came out last night. The Rachel Maddow Show broke this one. Right? So you remember that Smithfield meatpacking plant out there in, was it Iowa maybe? But there was the largest COVID-19 outbreak in the country. Yep, the outbreak came, and back then, Maddow was basically, there's something weird about this report, and it turns out, yep, they changed the reports. CDC said, this is what you need to do. They were told to go back in the next day, alter the report, and basically say, no, you can do these things if you want. Hundreds of people died, just in that plan alone. So I don't know. So Sean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where to go at this point. Or they're like, you know, look, I didn't want to wait, kind of wait another week before we kind of came back and just kind of touch base a little bit about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I know Sean is basically kind of like, you know, beside himself. Is that a fair statement?
There's things we're working on and I'm waiting to get out, so there's other things preoccupied on my mind right now that I just waiting for them. Just waiting and see.
Just waiting and seeing.
Yeah. I can't really talk about it.
No, I know.
So
But
yeah, I guess we can talk about, you know, before we go, Jordan Harris taking money from Students First. Students First gave him a $500,000 check.
That's a $500 check, Sean?
No, it's $500,000. That is influence peddling within that he has no one running against him, and it's just influence peddling for him. To try to get a better spot in leadership. It should be noted that the House, the Students First, is also the people funding to make sure Democrats remain in the minority. So they are a union-busting pack, and they don't like union workers, and they gave him $500,000, and that's fucking bullshit.
Yes, indeed. And if you want to say where does Sean get his information, just go to Sean's Twitter account, because he posted the document.
The screenshot.
Yep.
Hey, receipts don't lie.
Exactly.
Well, like, I should say this. Like, I had someone in the state party call me the last time this happened, and they were upset that I put his campaign contribution online because he got a $100,000 check from these people last year. And at this point, it's like, well, you know, at that point, they're saying 2020 is going to be an important election year. It's about winning House seats. Well, if you're, this is about winning seats and getting legislative majorities, then why are we taking money from the people who are actively campaigning and funding the attacks against House and Democratic candidates and members? Just a thought. Just a thought experiment.
Right? Just a thought experiment. Just throwing that out there. Spitballing.
So, you know. But Students First has been funding Commonwealth Foundation's PACs against House and Senate members, House and Senate Democrats, to make sure that they don't win and to make sure that they stay a legislative minority. I guess they really want to buy influence in the Democratic Party by giving Jordan Harris that money. So that's. You know, and this is not like just for like the dumbasses out there. I'm not going to name anyone by name in any bizarre instance, but there's a big difference between taking a check from a union, a worker protection pack, you know, that protects people, and a check from an organization that wants to destroy unions. Just to make that clear. So there is a difference.
And public schools. Let's be clear about that. So
yes, and public schools.
And public schools.
Yes, they want to destroy the public fabric. So
yeah, because I don't know about you, but most of the dystopian movies that I see usually involve kind of like, you know, schools turning over to some sort of kind of religious fundamentalism and re-education camp. So hey, Students First, man, right there. But then, of course, we've got Mr. Pat Toomey. So I saw your tweet on this too. It was like, yep, Pat Toomey's just end his political career, I think is something what you said.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, like, taking the huge step of, again, another fucking unicorn, someone that we knew, like, this motherfucker gets away with, like, getting looked as a moderate Republican, you know, when he was ran for office the past couple of times. You know, one thing that should be said is thank you to Tuesdays with Toomey.
Yeah.
For just destroying his veneer of bipartisanship or as a moderate Republican, because of like the accountability from this organization, you know, from these protests every week since 2016, like 2017, his approval rating is at 37%. And, you know, that to really tank someone's approval rating like that is a long term process. And, you know, like, he's going to try to run for governor with an approval rating that low. And this is just one more heap on the fucking pile for him. So, but I don't think he wins the primary for governor. I think that goes to Doug Mastriano.
You think so?
I think it's Mastriano.
Oh, man. Does that process start next year? Am I right about that?
Yeah, no, it starts soon.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I love about Pennsylvania politics. It's just like, it's a 2-year cycle. It's just like, as soon as one election's over, we're getting ready for the next.
Man. Great stuff. So, hey, everybody, so you got anything else to go to the order, Sean, for this week?
I've been braising a bunch of different things lately.
Nice.
Yes.
You know, so I told you this. I'm a big fan of braising. I love braising. Love the braise.
Well, like, it's a lot better than, like, using the crock pot, yep. You know? Like, and So I made a I braised pulled pork last week, which was awesome. Like, got like, and what I did this time, instead, I didn't do it last time, I cut it up into chunks and I seared it first, gave it a nice like crust on both sides, and then braised it for like a few hours. And
yeah, Sean, I think you can start, like, part of your account is like food thirst posts. It's like
politics, shit posting, and food thirst. Oh, especially like my Instagram. Like, I put those like Instagram. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll put those things up on Instagram. So I use my Instagram account to like, I've been using like the timeline, or not the timeline, like those
stories.
Those stories, yeah. Yep. I don't even know how to fucking use Instagram. That's how boomer status I am. But like, I've been using.
But Sean's a huge hit on TikTok. Not.
Which is still here, apparently.
Yeah, still here. Walmart and Oracle now own 20% of it, or are going to.
Another fucking handout for the rich.
Yep. But anyways, you were saying, using the stories to post the food thirst stuff.
Yeah, the food thirst, the stuff I've been cooking. It's actually pretty funny because, like, my friends who work in, like, my friend Brittany, well, yeah, Brittany Cramsey and, like, others will, like, message me, shit like that. They're like, I didn't realize you knew how to cook this well. It's just like, you're like, where'd your cooking game come from? So, no, I like to show off that I can cook, stuff like that. Yeah. I'll say one thing I did a couple weeks ago that was awesome. I made pupusa. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's a Tuscan braised, so it's a red wine braised beef that is just like covered in black pepper and fresh ground peppercorns. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just like short, I made it with short ribs, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. 2 cups of red dry wine, and then like bay leaf, sage, and then like you mix them like in this garlic mix. That's why I got the garlic crusher, because I need it like 10 cloves to be crushed. Mm-hmm. And it like braised for like 3 or 4 hours, and by far the best thing I cooked so far.
Nice.
Like the sauce the red wine made was just like, and the fat was just amazing. So I'm definitely going back to that.
Nice, man.
That shit's expensive, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know what's nice about braising, though? What's really nice about braising is that you can even get cheaper cuts of meat. And it really breaks down. I mean, even like, you know, if you get chuck roast, for example, I've done a bunch of stuff with chuck roast, which is just
Oh, the chucks at the market.
Yeah.
Are super nice. Like, I don't know what he does with them. Like, he keeps the fat cap on them.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's like a ring going around the whole entire chuck.
Yep.
Like the fat ring just going around the whole entire thing. And it's like, yeah, it's like a nice solid fat cap around it. I think like so it's like, I'm already like, I'm just banging off things I need for my apartment still. I need to get a pepper mill. But I also want to get a casserole dish. So to like to braise stuff, like, I kind of want to braise a brisket. So I can get like a nice side of brisket, like pretty cheap too.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you get a you want to do that in a casserole dish?
To braise it?
Yeah.
Well, I think like I don't have like anything that's like square like that, like to hold like that big of the cut of the meat.
Yeah, you got. Well, yeah. I mean, I've done brisket in a round pan though. I guess you could do you. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying about the fit of it, but a good size stainless steel pan, right? It's got a nice bottom on it. Will do wonders with that stuff.
That's probably the best thing I've gotten in the past few months. My mom bought me a stainless steel cooking pan. By far the best like investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank
That's
you,
pretty
Mom.
Much everything.
Thank you,
I Mommy. Have. Yeah. My mom's gotten me a lot of things for my apartment.
Yeah.
Like the new bed that's coming tomorrow.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, I cannot wait.
So I guess I'll leave everybody with this. I'm glad we were able to do this little short kind of touch and base with everybody today. before I kind of take off for the weekend. Who knows, depending on what Friday morning looks like, I might even hop on again. I've just been, my mind has been going 1,000 miles an hour, right now, but, we'll be back next week. I think I said on Monday's show that we'll kind of return to, Out to Goop Live on Monday. That's not clear if that's going to happen at this point. We might actually be staying through Monday, for the weekend and coming back then. I have to see yet. So it turns out my kids have off on Monday. So it's like, here you go. So that's kind of what that's, I forgot about that when I was, first talking about on the show, but I have to say, I'm really loving doing the Out to Coop Live. It's been cool to see this, some folks jumping on. I appreciate, you know, once again, a big shout out to Jamie B, for becoming a patron for $10 a month. I can't tell you how much that means to me right now. Especially, the way I was feeling this week, to kind of see that kind of support come up was really awesome. So I want to remind everybody, if you want to kind of support this program, you can support this program, by going to patreon.com/rcpress and become a patron for as little as $5 a month. I've also going to be putting out, this is kind of a call out to all of our listeners. So if you know of people, especially PA-based, say, scholars and writers, who are focused on, say, progressive left politics, history, and movements in Pennsylvania or the region, shoot me their name. I'm going to put up I'll put up a form, that you can send in suggestions about people to contact. What basically what I want to do is I want to build up a kind of a guest list where we can bring people on the show. I've got a couple people already, that are what's that?
I think you should reach out to Laura Putman.
I have not.
Out West. She's really good.
Laura Putman?
Yes, I have to... She's a historian, who's been following the Black Lives Matter movement over the summer and does that type of stuff.
Fantastic. So any of that kind of stuff, and especially people who are doing... who are following stuff kind of like in this region, right? Because, you know, one of the things that I want to ensure that, part of what we do here, right, is kind of building, you know... media infrastructure that is focused on kind of what's happening here in our own backyards, in addition to the national stuff, right? And I think we need to kind of build that back up. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to go into a big long thing, but so basically, if you know people, that you think would be great for, to bring on, kind of interview and talk about their work, you can shoot me an email at ragingchickenpress@gmail.com, or you can kind of say, look, on our website, and I think I'm going to drop it down. Well, I'll be sending it on social media and things like this, when I get the form with the way I want it. But I'll be sending that out too as well. You can send it to people they want, have them fill it out, where they can give me the contact information. It'd be fantastic. So that's really good. I also want to encourage everybody, right? So this is something that I'm going to echo what, Sam Cedar has been saying, on the Majority Report all week. I think that everybody in Pennsylvania, especially those folks in the progressive and the left, need to be hearing this right now, is like, I get the frustration about Joe Biden, okay? But when we're talking about electing, I said, I told you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to be voting for Joe Biden, right? And I'm going to have no problem with that, right? Does that mean I like Joe Biden? No. Does that mean that I agree with him? No. Does that think that he's the progressive savior? No, right? I'm at the point where, like, end fascism first, then go after, you know, the cause. Get rid of the acute situation, and then address the long-term crisis, right? That's kind of the idea. Anyways, if you can't get behind Joe Biden, right, for whatever the hell reason, right, if you can't get vote for that, you still need to vote, because we have progressive running all across the state of Pennsylvania. We have amazing candidates, right, who are running their heart out and may win, right? You look at Shana Danielson, for example, right, who is running a hell of a campaign, and we have an opportunity to unseat a Republican.
And Bernie Rodas.
Right. I mean, we can run down this list. And this is one thing I want to do next week. I want to go next week. I want to start going through candidate by candidate, making sure that everybody's out there. So you show up to vote, right? This is not the opportunity to be like, all I care about is national politics because that's all I follow, and Joe Biden's bad, so I'm not going to vote. No. We need to be taking care of our backyard right now. If you need to leave the presidential line blank or write in freaking, you know, like whatever, Bugs Bunny, because of that's going to do it for you, fine. But get out there and vote for everyone in your district. Get out there and vote for those candidates in your district. Just because you don't give a shit about what's happening at a national level, right, or you're upset at the Democratic Party thing, there are candidates here in Pennsylvania that need your support and you need to get your ass to the polls and vote for them, right? This is not the time to throw up your hands in cynicism and say, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. We are on the precipice of having a major shift in political power in the state of Pennsylvania. And we, but the only way that happens if progressives and the left get out there and support these candidates. So no matter how despondent you are about what is happening at the top of the presidential ticket, get out there and vote for those candidates. And while you're sitting there voting for those candidates, the progressive candidates, voting for the Democratic candidates, voting for the left candidates that are in the, you know, that are at local offices, then you can decide whether or not you're going to, you know, it's going to be too much to pull that switch for Biden or not. Right? That's up to you. My appeals say, let's support the people in our backyards right now. So make sure you're registered, right? If you can vote in person, vote in person, right? Some of the mail stuff, I'm still waiting for my ballot to come. I asked for a kind of mail-in ballot, still yet to come. Make sure you vote. If you are doing a mail-in ballot, get that shit and mail it right back. Fill it out, mail it right back, right? Or better yet, go to the county courthouse and drop it off. Put it in a drop box. And I want to remind everybody, right? One of the PA Supreme Court, one of the things they ruled is that you cannot go to your neighbors and say, hey, I'm going to the drop box. Can I take yours too as well? There's cameras that are watching those boxes all the time. The PA Supreme Court says, no, you cannot bundle those things and kind of and drop them all off. You need to drop off your own ballot. And remind your friends and remind your neighbors of that. Ask your neighbors, did you get your mail-in ballot? Are you going to vote? Are you registered? I just checked my registration yesterday again because all of a sudden I started getting these weird Republican mailers and letters, right? I'm like, what the hell happened? Why am I getting Republican mailings, right? Talking to me like a Republican, right? Because I'm like, that's not me. So get out there and do that. All right. I'm going to leave it today instead of kind of returning to what we said, AOC, on our Out the Coop live show. It's been good enough by Jonathan Mann. That's at Song A Day Man, Song, S-O-N-G-A, letter A, Day, D-A-Y, Man, M-A-N-N, two N's, Song A Day Man, at Song A Day Man on Twitter. You can look him up on YouTube. He is the guy who holds the Guinness Book of World Records for writing the most consecutive, most number of, I don't even know how to say it. I always mess this up. But he writes a song a day. And he's written a song a day longer than anybody else in the world. So he's got the Guinness Book of World Records. Jonathan Mann was good enough to let us use his song, There Are No People in the Future, for our Out the Coop Live podcast. And today just feels right to be closing out with Jonathan Mann. So Jonathan Mann, I appreciate you allowing us to kind of use your podcast. Love your work. It gets me through sometimes. For the rest of you, I'll be back next week. Sean will be back next week. And think about what you need to do, what we need to do, and how we can do it together. Signing off.
See ya! My face, my